Good morning, DFW. It's Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm RJ, Chobby, Bobby Belt, Peyton, and Caitlin alongside. And as we do every Thursday, we talk with the great Babe Loffenberg, Cowboys radio color analyst, here on The Fan. Morning, Babe. How are we doing?
I'm doing okay. Thank you, guys. And I'm going a little easy on the trivia question this morning because when I found out Sean Sharif wasn't there, I know he's kind of like your bell cow running back or your ace pitcher. And
yeah, he's a running back. They don't matter. I was kidding.
I love it. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, so Jalen, this is easy. Jalen Hurts has 3 seasons of rushing for 10 touchdowns. Only one other quarterback, has 3 seasons of 10 rushing touchdowns. So if Jalen runs for 10 this year, he'll be the only guy to have 4 such seasons of 10 rushing touchdowns by a quarterback. Who's the other guy?
Cam Newton.
There you go. I said it was easy.
I nailed it. Nice. Hey, I see how you tied it in because the Jonathan Mingo trade. It's a Carolina tie. I get exactly what you're thinking there, Ben.
That would not have been my first guess. It would have been Lamar.
Oh yeah, and you know what's funny? If Michael Vick were playing in today's offenses, I mean, he'd have 20 touchdowns a year.
Yeah,
You said that, I thought it was a trick question that you were going to say it was easy, and you were going to wind up saying it was Fran Tarkenton.
No. No, I wouldn't do that to my boys.
No, I knew, the only reason why I knew that one is because there was a point, like Dak's first 3 years, I think he became the only quarterback at the time to have like 20 passing touchdowns and 5 rushing touchdowns in 3 straight seasons in NFL history. And the only reason that was the case was because Cam kept missing 20 passing touchdowns by like a touchdown.
So
I already knew that. I was cheating. So there we go. All right, babe. So we got this game coming up this weekend. Sounds like a lot of Cooper Rush over Trey Lance. Maybe some work for Trey Lance in there if Jerry is being direct with us and not having some gamesmanship. Just in general, the outlook, how much do you think the offense changes for this minimum, it feels like, of 4 weeks with Rush in here over Dak?
It really doesn't change at all. I think everything that Dak could do, Cooper Rush can do. It's different to me when you have a running quarterback or a guy that you actually design runs for, and in comes a backup and he can't run, or vice versa, where you take advantage of the guy who's the backup who can run. But they're both the same guy as far as that. Neither one are going to, in these days, beat you with their legs. Once upon a time, Dak was obviously a much better runner. But I always thought one of the strangest pairings was, since RJ brought him up, Lamar Jackson. His backup for a year or two was Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
Now you're changing your offense, right? And I remember talking to Dan Quinn about Philly, and behind Hurts last year, they had Marcus Mariota. So Mariota can kind of do the same things that Jalen Hurts does. You don't have to change your offense. Interestingly enough, they've got Jaden Daniels in Washington. Who's the backup for him? Marcus Mariota.
Mm-hmm.
So Dan Quinn said, hey, I want that guy. So I don't think anything changes. And I do think, I don't like the word underrated because people will say, hey, do you think this guy's underrated or that guy's overrated? And I always say, how do you rate him? I mean, rate him differently than you. But I don't think Cooper Rush gets the respect maybe that he deserves. And I understand he started 6 NFL games, but he has been a very competent player. I thought he played well against Atlanta. He had 2 throws in there that could have been touchdowns, 2 mm-hmm. long throws. I mean, just off, 6 inches off. And I think they'll be fine with him. The problem is, obviously, he doesn't have the same team with him that he won 4 of those 5 games in 22. That defense in those 4 wins, which he started off with, they allowed 17, 16, 10, and 10.
Mm-hmm.
This defense isn't going to allow Philly under 20. So it's going to be a different game that he's going to have to play.
Babe, you mentioned there that you don't think it'll look all that different because of the play style that Cooper Rush has. Do you think that's some of the hesitancy then about even putting Trey Lance out there? Is like, guys, if we want the best chance to win, Trey Lance is a mobile quarterback who we'd probably have to change stylistically and schematically some of the things we want to do.
That more so, Cooper Rush needs every rep he can get in practice. So if I'm going to put in a little package for Trey Lance, and this is just the way I'm thinking, if I'm putting in a package for Trey Lance, I'm going to have to take 5 plays out of that practice where Cooper Rush isn't running them. And when do you put Trey Lance into the game. You know, it was a third and one down at the goal line. I love the idea of it. But you know what? Can I go back? I think Peyton's got a bite here. This is a cut from the last preseason game, the end of the last preseason game, and I was talking to Brad Sham about it.
Cooper Rush is not a finished product. The notion that he played 2 years ago in five games, and it's not a guy that's played 80 starts, right? I would have got him some work in games in the preseason. That's me.
Yeah, and I did not understand that, if that's going to be your backup. Now, you didn't have to give him three quarters of the game, but he needed to play, and he'd probably be the first to tell you, I need to get out there and play. And they did not play him in the preseason, and I really thought that was a mistake. And, hey, he may play great, and if he doesn't play great, it won't be because he didn't play necessarily, but that was a head-scratcher for me.
If Dak does get surgery and he's done for the year, how long would you wait before you put Trey in? Like, that's the big question.
Yeah, that's a down the road question. But yeah, would I put him in? Would I want to see him? Here's the problem. I love the kid, great kid, but San Francisco saw him, didn't like what they saw. If you watched the preseason games, which I know you guys did, you didn't like what you saw. I asked a couple of quarterbacks. Okay, just so you know, they weren't named Jason Garrett or Troy Aikman. Those were. But I asked a couple quarterbacks that had watched and viewed, and I said, if you took the number off and didn't know he was the third pick in the draft, would he have made your team? They said, oh, absolutely not.
Yeah.
So we seem to be just going back to, I mean, the five interception game, the last preseason game, he earned all of those. Sometimes, you know, I get home from games and you see, oh, Joe Burrow threw four picks, mm-hmm. and you go, oh my goodness, and you look and one ball was tipped and one ball goes in and out of the receiver's hands and
right.
stuff happens. He earned all five. So I don't know that if he has necessarily earned that time, but I think we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's see what Cooper Rush does. And you know, we may have this conversation a month from now, if they're sitting there at 3-9. But I think until that time, I got to worry about Cooper Rush, and I got to get him every rep in practice that I can. Because we didn't play him in the preseason.
Babe Loffenberg, join us here on 105 through the Fan of the DM Leasing Hotline. How do you think, and how have you seen from what you've seen on tape, how has the Kellen Hurts tandem look to you this year?
I see it as a developing situation.
Oh.
Hurts, let me say, he has career highs this year in completion percentage, in yards per attempt, which to me is always a biggie. And passer rating. So he's having a career year in those statistical categories. I think they started him off playing a little more under center, and then it appears that they've gone back to a lot more of shotgun. He'll go under center a little. Now, this was a guy that never went under center, right, mm-hmm. the last few years. So they did a little of that. They're definitely using more shifts and motion, which is a Kellen Moore staple going all the way back to Boise State, which they did none of. So they seem to be getting better, and it's funny. It takes you a little time to develop to see, hey, what is this quarterback like? If I'm Kellen Moore or any offensive coordinator, what is this quarterback like? What does he do well? What doesn't he do well? And you got a pretty good idea because obviously Jalen Hurts has played a lot of football. You could look at tape, but then you get in the building and it kind of changes, and you get into those conversations during the game. And I think it sort of evolves. And I always say that play caller and quarterback has to be like a pitcher and a catcher, where when that catcher flashes that sign, that pitcher says, just what I was thinking, mm-hmm. right? And you're doing it with confidence. And that takes a little while to develop, I think, for that play caller and the quarterback to develop that. But they definitely appear to be getting better as this season progresses, in my mind.
Do you anticipate a pettier amount of play calling than the kind you got from Dan Campbell a couple weeks ago? You think Kellen's going to come in here and try to light up the scoreboard this weekend?
Well, of course he'll try to light up the scoreboard, but I don't know that it'll be as personal as it appeared to be for Dan Campbell. And I don't know that Philadelphia will be in the position, I could be wrong, where they're going to be able to rub it in. I do believe this game's going to be a little closer than I think we we think it'll be. The Cowboys are playing at home, and I understand what they've been this year at home. Hopefully they're getting Micah back. It appears they will. I think Cooper Rush will do a fine job. I really do. Here's the other thing, too, but just very quickly on the backup quarterback situation, because I've been there. In 2022, Cooper Rush came in week two. Dak got hurt in week one. Mm-hmm. So he was not far removed from getting all those reps of mini camps and training camp, and at that time playing in the preseason. And when you look at the success stories, these are off the chart success stories, I know, but Tom Brady came in week two for Drew Bledsoe. Kurt Warner came in the start of the season because Trent Green got hurt in the preseason. Even if you look at here, Dak Prescott had two preseason games under his belt because both Tony Romo and Kellen Moore went down. He was the third quarterback, as you recall, his rookie year. So I think the further away you get from training camp and playing in the preseason, the more difficult it is for that backup quarterback. So here we are in week, 10?
Mm-hmm.
He's a little bit removed. He's 10 weeks removed from really having any serious reps. And I don't count scout team. Scout team really does nothing for you. They circle the card and they say, throw it to this guy. I hated it. I've been there. You get to drop back and throw the football, but you're not really advancing in your own offense. But anyway, so there's my take on the whole backup thing.
Babe, I want to get your reaction to the big news from Tuesday night. Your Indiana Hoosiers made the first installment of the playoff.
Is that unbelievable? I mean, it is. It is for me. It is for most people. But here's the crazy thing. I mean, I looked at the paper this week, and honestly, I don't bet, but I don't even look at lines. Cowboy game's going to kick. I don't even know how much Philly's favored by over the Cowboys this week. But I look at the line, and I'm seeing Indiana favored by 13 over Michigan. And that's one of those things I never thought I would see the day. Now, they got the Buckeyes the following week at the Shoe, and we may be, a 1 or 2 point underdog up there, but hey, it's fun while it's lasting. And hey, they are for real. I've seen half of their games. I mean, they're not just beating teams, they're blowing them out. And that includes Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. They're playing well.
Kurt Cinetti was right, man.
He is. I win. Google me.
He was right.
Google him.
Yep.
Cowboys, by the way, are 7.5 point dog.
Speaking of Indiana, you got time for a 30-second Lee Corso story?
Yeah.
Okay. So I talked to Coach Corso every couple of weeks, and they had the game day at Bloomington, which was awesome. He was celebrated. But anyway, the one time I'm talking to him recently, and I said, Coach, I don't know how it came up. I said, Coach, let me ask you. I said, I always say I got five guys in my life, and I think we all do, where I could say, hey, I'm in a jail in Omaha, Nebraska. And they would say, hey, I'm on my way. I'm calling an attorney. Don't do anything. I'm in my car right now. And I said, Coach, let me ask you. I said, can I count on you as number six? And he said, I ain't driving to effing Omaha, sweetheart, from Orlando.
Love it. Thank you, babe.
Okay, see you guys.
Babe Loffenberg joins us here on 105.3 The Fan. Babe, it's good stuff.
Yes.
That's fantastic stuff. I love a good Corso story. The Cowboys knew they were getting fleeced in the Jonathan Mingo trade. So why'd they make it? It's the 9 o'clock hour coming up next here on The Fan.